Hello, dear viewers and dear listeners. This is Ivana Remundová in True Story Podcast, podcast powered by Institute of Documentary Film in Prague about the most talented filmmakers of Eastern Europe. Today, I'm talking to Vera Lacková. Hello, Vera.
Hello.
We are going to talk about your newest film, How I Became a Partisan. What is this film about?
The film tells the story of participation of Roma partisans in anti-fascist resistance. I want to point on the fact that Roma people are not just the victims of the war, as we know from the history, but they took the active role in this anti-fascist resistance. And it is very important for me because it breaks the stereotype that we have now that Roma are just the victims or somebody who doesn't make anything for the society.
This film tells this general story, but it's also a very intimate story because it's a story of your family. So I used to ask authors usually how they get to the topic of their film, but in your case, it's very specific and very obvious. Do you still remember when and how did you get to know that your grand-grandfather was a partisan?
So it was in my early childhood when my grandmom, who raised me, told me a story about my great-grandfather, Jan Lacko, who was a Roma partisan. During the Second World War, he lost his whole family because he was in the resistance. Later, he was in a concentration camp. And meanwhile, the Gestapo took his family into the woods and six members were killed by Nazis. And the youngest daughter of him was only 2 months. Older was 2 years. So this tragedy is something what is in our family and it influenced me a lot. I had to think about it. When I was older and I became a filmmaker, I started to be more interested into history and I started to search for the story of my great-grandfather. I found out that he was not only partisan, Roma partisan, but there were many more, and not only in Slovakia, but also in Czech Republic, in Hungary, in Romania, and everywhere where was the anti-fascist resistance. Just the society don't know about this.
Why this happened? I mean, why we don't know about them? Do you have your personal opinion about this?
First of all, after war, I have the feeling that nothing changed really in the attitude towards to Roma people. And it didn't change until now. There are still the same opinions about Roma people. There is still big racism and big discrimination. That's why this topic is very actual for me. And when Roma people wanted to start to talk about this topic, people were not, and the society was not interested. They said that they are many times liars, that it is not true that there was some Roma Holocaust. Later on, there was a communism regime, and it was the same. No one was interested into some Roma partisans. It was not okay for them because they wanted assimilation of Roma people, not the emancipation of them, and no role models for Roma people, no heroes. So I think that's one of the reasons. And another reason that I don't really understand is that when historians made lists of people who participated in the resistance, they didn't write the ethnicity of Roma people. They took them immediately as Slovaks or Czechs.
Vera Lacková is a Roma director and film producer. Born in Slovakia and based in Vienna, Austria, she is the founder of the Czech-Slovakian production company Media Voice. Her background working with Roma people, sharing their stories and movements, enables her to bring a unique insider perspective on important and timely ethnic and political Roma themes for the community. A participant of the 2019 ITFA Academy, her film, How I Became a Partisan, was her feature-length documentary debut and is about searching for the fate of forgotten Roma partisans. Her own search for and exposure of Romani partisans' stories is primarily based on the life of her great-grandfather Jan Lacko. The film premiered at Go East Film Festival in Wiesbaden in 2021, where she received the Federal Foreign Office for Cultural Diversity Award. The project was developed at the Ex-Orienta Film Workshop, pitched at 2020 East Doc Platform, and is a part of the distribution program East Silver Caravan, supported by Institute of Documentary Film.
you were really trying to dig into this history and trying to find out more. What was the biggest surprise for you when you were digging into the history of the Roma partisans?
The biggest surprise for me is that it is really a chapter that is unknown and there is a depth towards the Roma community, and historians should change it. So I want also to bring those stories to the society. And that's why I decided to become a partisan, like the name of the film is How I Became a Partisan, to be a modern partisan in a metaphoric way, to fight for those stories that they will be known and not forgotten.
This film is not only about your great-grandfather, but also a lot about your grandmother, who was very important to you in your life. How did she react in the first place on that idea that you will make a film about such intimate story of your family?
She always wanted me to write a book or to make a film about it. And that's also the promise that I gave her before she died. Unfortunately, she was in the last stadium of cancer when I started to shoot. And I didn't know before that she will die. So this was the process during the film. But still my inner engine that I really have to make it. Now the film is finished, but I still have the feeling that I really have to bring it to the society and to the viewers. So I hope we will be like able to make it, because now it's also the pandemic, the corona, so it complicates the situation quite a lot. But I have to say that also, unfortunately, my granddad, who raised me together with my grandma, died 3 months ago. So for me, it's in a way some form how I have them with me when I present this film, for example.
Dávno, pradávno, keď svet ešte nechyroval ani o mne a ani o tebe, žil v dedine na okraji lesa tvoj pradedo Ján s krásnou ženou Rozáliou. Mali 4 dievčatka, Margitu, Gabrielu, Rózku a Valiku.
Paragraf 9. Žandárska stanica na podklade obdržaného zoznamu. Paragraf 8 odsek 3. Vyhotoví hneď pojmo o každej osobe kartotékový lístok. Kartotéka modrej farby je určená pre cigánov a šedej farby pre ostatní.
Temný král poštval proti sebe ľudí.
In the trailer, we could see that you also met some people who still remember the Second World War, but who would be maybe people, let's say, from the other side of the wall. You met a former Hitlerjugend member. I cannot imagine how difficult it had to be for you to speak to those people, especially because they didn't change their opinions so much. How did you cope with that? How did you protect yourself?
First of all, I really like to talk to people, so I try to also observe a lot and to listen to them. So for me, it was very interesting to meet a person who was in this time and who was at the opposite side. So he was in Hitlerjugend, but he was also German. Because in Slovakia, where my great-grandfather lived, there is a region where Carpathian German lives for centuries. And they lived with the Roma people in a peace before the war. But when the propaganda came, they changed their attitude very quickly. So they liked Hitler, of course. And he was talking about the Hitlerjugend in a way that it was very nice initiative, and he just played the flute and the trombones and things like that, and that there were teachers who looked after them. So this was really like surprising for me, like how he sees this initiative, despite it was not really okay, because I found out during my research that Hitlerjugend was very active. They helped the Gestapo to kill my family, the great-grandfather's family. And the worst thing about this is that they were citizens of the same village as my great-grandfather. And until nowadays, their descendants still live there. So this is very strange.
This is very strange. Can you imagine that these people would see your film and what could be their reaction? Are you imagining that? What if it could change something to them?
I don't think that it will change something because I tried. Also, it is in the film. I wanted to make the commemoration act. So I've made it in collaboration with village mayor. We organized it in the end. But later on, the villagers were not content with this and they confront me with this, that they don't like it. The village mayor also told to me that if I can imagine that they are Germans and I ask Germans to come to commemoration act and they asked, why Roma people? Why do we have to make it for the Roma victims? Why not majority? Why not Jews? Mm-hmm. So this was something like I had the feeling, okay, so when someone says Roma people, it's immediately problem.
In such topics where not so many films were filmed before, sometimes happens that the author is then like seen as a voice of the whole topic. So I guess that now you're asked so many different questions about the whole topic of the Roma issue. What are the craziest ones?
I have to say that I was surprised when I started to have interviews with journalists and they were not interested only in the topic of my film or my personality because I've made this film and my relation to the topic. But they started to ask me about the things that they should ask politicians. For instance, like how would I solve the problems that have the Roma community and why the Roma community steals and why they make this and this. So sometimes it's strange, but on the other hand, I understand that Roma community maybe don't have so many voices, so they want to hear it. I don't know.
If you become, and you are already, a voice of the Roma community in the Central Europe, what's your main message then? What would you like to say?
First of all, I would like to change the narrative of the Second World War because Roma people were not just the victims. They were also active participants of anti-fascist resistance. And let's see how successful I will be, but I would like to change it. And I hope that later on historians will also start to research on this topic because it is still missing there. And then I would like to change the negative stereotypes and negative image of Roma people. Because as we can see until now in media, but also politicians, they look at Roma people always from the same angle and they talk about how Roma people are bad, how they are not useful for society, and they show still the Roma settlements. But it's not so easy way thing. Roma people face many problems. Despite the Roma people are the biggest minority in Europe, they still face problems. They don't have same rights to education, to be employed. So this is very strange. So I hope I could change it at least a little bit with my work and with my films.
True Story is a documentary podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film. You can find news from the world of film on all the common platforms such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, as well as on docweb.net.
You were born in Slovakia. You are living in Vienna now, in Austria. Is it better there? Sometimes we imagine that in the post-communist countries, the situation with racism is much bigger. Is it true?
In Vienna, I don't have such a feeling that they are so much against Roma people because there are many minorities. And I think there are other minorities that they hate maybe much more, unfortunately. Because in Vienna, you don't have such a feeling so much because it's a very multicultural environment. But I know a lot of people who have problems in Austria because they are not natives.
You have shown your film already in Germany, in Slovakia. Today you're going to show it in Czech Republic. Are the reactions of the audiences different or is it almost the same?
I have to say that during our world premiere, we won one of the main prizes and it made me really happy. It was for the cultural diversity at the film festival Go East. And the film opened last week, the Slovak Festival Van World. So it was very beautiful.
And there were standing ovations, you have to say that, for 15 minutes.
Yes. So it was very nice because an audience was waiting for me because I was outside and I tried to put asleep my small baby. So I didn't know about it. And then my colleague came to me that I have to run there. So it was very emotional and very warm for me. And I still have this nice feeling. And today we have a premiere, the Czech premiere here, and we are going to the cinema in Czech and Slovak Republic. So it's very nice time. A lot of things is happening. I have to say also that the film has quite a lot of success in Germany. We are already at 4 film festivals there.
Amazing. Talking about little babies, you have a really little daughter. She's almost 1 year and something, right? Mm-hmm. What is it like to be a mom and a filmmaker? Is it difficult, easy, easier than you imagined?
I have to say it's difficult, but on the other hand, I really love my work. So I want to continue in this because I have the feeling that this is what I have to do. But yes, it's difficult for women filmmakers to be film directors and to have babies. And I hope that the environment in Czech Republic and Slovakia or Central Europe will change and that there will be more opportunities.
I think about what would help us, like what would be the support from, I don't know, the state, institutions, society. And I always find out that it's much wider than one grant application or one like institution. Do you feel the same? Like it takes some time when we women, mothers, filmmakers will have some easier time to work?
I think it will take some time. Of course, it would be great if women filmmakers could have babysitters. That would be very nice if the film funds can be open in this. I know in Czech Republic it is possible, but in Slovakia it's not possible yet. So I hope that they will change it too. And I hope that the film festivals could be like friendly to babies. Some of them are already.
After watching your film, I feel like it's the film and much more. It's also, I feel some good activism there. What, in the best case scenario, would you like this film to provoke in the society?
As I mentioned, I will be really glad if historians can follow it and to start historical research on this topic. Also, if artists can work on this topic as well. And if it can be a part of the schools, if it can go to the schools and to be educative material, for instance. Also, we have exhibitions, so we would like to go with this exhibition and the film in different cities. So this is the plan now.
I imagine in Czech Republic, one would offer the teachers such film as yours to show to the kids. And my fantasy goes really wild what happens then, because even among teachers and then parents of the children, this topic is not so easy. Would be this the same in Slovak Republic? What do you expect now to happen if you offer them that this film will go through schools?
Of course, I understand that it's a, first of all, Roma topic. So sometimes some people could have a negative opinion about it because it happens also at the social sites that despite people, and mainly those who didn't see the film, they see that it is about Roma people, so they have to say something bad about it. But people who have seen the film say very nice things about it. And I think it's very important to talk to children and also to teachers. So I think the personal attitude in this is very important. So I think step by step, it's a lot of work, but it is possible.
One could ask if the young people nowadays are interested in the history 75 years old. What would you say to that?
I think it's very important to talk about the history because, as we can see, there are still the same opinions as there have been in the Second World War. And those opinions are going also to our parliaments, and there are different neo-Nazis, not only in Slovakia, but also in Czech Republic and different European states. So that's why it's important to talk about it, because also ordinary people vote for those neo-Nazis.
And one more aspect I really like on your film, or on in general, on digging into family history, isn't it this tool, one of the best tools to heal some wounds in the families? How did your relatives react to digging into history of your family?
They were open to this because they liked that I wanted to open this history of our family and to follow the story of my great-grandfather. So they were helpful. But I know in some families, for instance, in some protagonists, they didn't know so much about their history before. And it was difficult for them to start to talk about it. But then I convinced them and they were glad that they could find some new facts that they didn't know about it.
Vera, where can people see your film now and in following months? What's the plan for your film?
Today is very special. It's 11th November and the film is going to the cinemas in Slovakia and Czech Republic. So people can go to the cinema. And it still will be at the film festivals in Germany, but also in Netherlands and Sardinia. And we will see what will be the next. I hope it will go to as many viewers as possible. And we plan also the special screenings in the places where we shot the film with the discussions. So this all is in plan.
Great. And for those who cannot go or to the cinema for any reason, so the cinema is far away from them, do you plan any online distribution?
After this cinema distribution, we plan also some VOD platforms.
Thank you very much for the interview. Thank you very much. Big luck with the premiere tonight. And thank you for coming. Thank you for this film and wishing you the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was Vera Lacková. Thank you for listening to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. We will be back with you soon.